Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Who do you think killed him?
Was it Hire?
Hire, yeah.
It was a Hire, it was not a gun, it was a pressure canister used, there was a template used.
Welcome back to another episode of Deadly Diocese. This episode is an interesting one. It delves into the world of speculation and the character of the players who may be involved. And I'd like to state up top that the opinions expressed by our interview subjects are their own. But it is important to explore all facets of this case. All parties are innocent until proven guilty, and they also may just be innocent. Please take care when listening.
Not in my church. Not in my diocese. No one wants to believe that the smoke of Satan could be wafting through their own backyard. But where would evil infiltrate your neighborhood? The rundown house at the end of the street, it's too obvious. The church is where we would least expect to encounter evil. Or at least that's the white picket fence kind of faith we bestow onto these cathedrals. The Catholic Diocese of Buffalo has existed since 1847, reigning over 6,455 square miles of western New York. Hundreds of stone cathedrals for the smoke of Satan to hide, lurking in the holy hallways and rectories. Now, over the course of the last 176 years, the Buffalo Diocese has produced some true men of God, like the Padre to the Poor, Father Nelson Baker, who, after enlisting as a Union soldier in the Civil War at age 21, had a spiritual calling on a steamboat crossing Lake Erie. His godly works would go on to help him raise the money and build the famous Our Lady of Victory Basilica in Buffalo, and earn him the distinction of Venerable by Pope Benedict in 2011, moving him one step closer to canonization. 100 years later, Buffalo would see another true man of God, Father Joe Moreno, the Padre of Pizza. He selflessly tended to the poor, like Father Baker. His sermons were as good as stand-up comedy, but the Buffalo Diocese did not reward this beloved priest with a larger church or promote his official duties. For decades, there has been a self-centered culture spawning from social cliques and good old boys clubs from seminary on. Joe was an outsider to these modern priests. His humor, holiness, and goodwill wasn't in fashion with these guys. And envy leads to jealousy. And that jealousy lingers in the air of a secrecy corroded with the smoke of Satan. And that jealousy can turn into wrath.
My own experience is along with what I had been told by a number of clergy members who did not want to be identified. There is and there has been for a long, long time, decades, probably longer, somewhat of a secret society going on within the clergy of the Roman Catholic Church.
On February 19th, 2023, I received a message on Facebook by a woman named Mary Ellen. She writes, "Hello, Rachel. Are you the same Rachel who is doing the piece Deadly Diocese of the Buffalo, New York Diocese? If so, I'm wondering if we could talk." I sent her my phone number, she sent me hers, and I called her immediately. And it was an interesting phone call. You see, Mary Ellen has a very compelling connection to the story. She was also upfront and said that she wasn't sure if she could help exactly with Father Joe's case, but what she could help with is her intimate knowledge of the players involved and the threats they gave her, and one fairly harrowing, potentially life-threatening encounter with one Bishop Malone.
When I belonged to St. Mary's in Swarmville, Roman Catholic Church in Swarmville, and when the clergy abuse began to erupt back in 2018, our pastor, Father Robert Yetter, was removed from ministry. So that is when I started getting involved because it was devastating to all of the parishioners, myself in particular, being that Father Yetter had been my spiritual advisor for over 20 years. So I began talking to other churchgoers from St. Mary's and in and around the diocese, and we began forming groups to get together to joined Siobhan, the bishop's secretary, who had ultimately been the main whistleblower.
Siobhan became the main whistleblower because Father Joe couldn't. His plan was to blow the lid off the corruption in the diocese and expose these priests for their dirty deeds. But unfortunately, Father Joe didn't get that chance because, like Jonathan said in a previous episode, he got too emotional the day before and activated his own kill order.
I think Joe, unfortunately, became emotional over this and he activated the kill order.
But thankfully, Siobhan carried the torch when Joey could not.
We were joining her at different locations for prayerful protests. We would stand outside of the chancellery in prayer. There were different places that the bishop would be appearing, and we would go to those places of his appearances in an attempt to bring awareness to what was going on and the fact that, you know, we have a very serious problem here in the Diocese of Buffalo.
I then asked Mary Ellen if she believed that Bishop Malone had any involvement in orchestrating Father Joe's death, as Malone had only been bishop for a few months before Father Joe died. And then I ask her if she believes that Malone would have a motive to cover it up and protect the diocese and the players involved.
So that's kind of how it all started. From what I learned throughout the experiences with other people who had joined with me, other Catholics in Western New York, the things that we had heard from victims, things that we had heard from clergy members that did not want to be identified, there has been a long history of nothing but cover-ups. I mean, this could go back decades. And it's almost as if there is a secret society within the Roman Catholic Church. Abuse of power, abuse of children, abuse of other individuals, sexual abuse, as I said, abuse of power, abuse of money, and one person covering up for another. My own experiences, along with what I had been told by a number of clergy members who did not want to be identified, there is and there has been for a long, long time, decades, probably longer, somewhat of a secret society going on within the clergy of the Roman Catholic Church. It is comprised of power and control, money, and you are either quiet about this society, you don't dare come forward and say anything because there will be repercussions. Along with the control and the power, there was also the victimization of children and others by clergy.
The Lavender Mafia. Now, she goes on to speculate a lot of statistics about the sexual preferences of priests in the Buffalo Diocese. But let's just say there's a reason it's called the Lavender Mafia.
I also spoke with seminarians because when we would do our prayerful protest, particularly out at Christ the King Seminary, prior to its closing in 2019, I believe, or maybe it was early 2020. Yes, it closed in 2020. We would be out there for hours on end, and that happened to be where Bishop Malone had made the attempt to run me over.
I have to admit, I was shocked to hear that. But then I thought about it for a while. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility based on everything that has happened so far in this case. Now, I'm not accusing Malone of this, and this is Mary Ellen's experience, but one thing it did tell me was these men are reckless and so zeroed in on keeping their status, their lifestyle, and needs intact that anyone that gets in their way is essentially roadkill.
We would go out numerous times Christ the King, particularly when we knew there would be a gathering of clergy as well as Catholics for a function, for a mass, whatever, so that we could make our presence known, nothing violent, nothing threatening. We would stand there, we would pray the rosary, we would hold up signs. We wanted people to be aware of what was going on and what needed to be given attention to. So we'd be talking to other people who were in prayerful protest. On a number of occasions, there were seminarians there. And I had heard certain things about what was going on within the seminary. One seminary, actually two seminarians, told me that some of what was being taught was in the formation of the priest. They told the seminarians that we recognized the fact that, you know, you are called to be pure and celibate and such, but we do recognize, too, the fact that you have wants and needs. So we are going to explain to you, and we're going to do this in the form of a pamphlet that we will hand out to you with regard to masturbation. And we encourage you to have masturbation buddies within the seminary so that you can, you know, better deal with what you're going through and still be able to move forward with what you want to do in terms of your formation as a clergy member. The seminarians were telling us that they were handed out these pamphlets in the seminary by their teachers.
About masturbation buddies?
Yes, because they recognized the fact that these young men had wants and needs, but also that you're being called to chastity. And, you know, this is how we are explaining to you that you can deal with this issue so that you can move forward with your
formation as a priest.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We're supposed to get one. The seminarian who was talking to me about it had them never gave one to me. But we discussed it at length, and what he was saying was collaborated with another seminarian at the time who agreed, yes, they were handing out these pamphlets, and the encouragement of having a masturbation buddy within the seminary, someone that, you know, you could masturbate with. When we learned this, we became equally disturbed. And that empowered us to be more persistent with what we were doing in terms of, if we can't have Bishop Malone recognize what's going on in the diocese among his priests, what's happened to so many victims, what is going on in the seminary where you have the formation of up-and-coming priests, then this man, this bishop, who is not of God, needs to be removed, and someone needs to come into place to do an investigation and to out all the evil that's going on within the church in our diocese. Also at the seminary, where we have these young men who are in their early 20s being formed to become priests in the Roman Catholic Church, at Christ the King Seminary, we were told by these seminarians, they also had in the student center a bar with alcoholic beverages. Now, the seminary did not have a liquor license to have alcohol, sell alcohol. However, the beverages were available. It was almost like a snack bar. They would have, you know, like you could get chips and, you know, different snacks and things along with soda. But you could get alcoholic beverages as well. Because, again, you know, you're under a lot of stress, you're studying, so on and so forth, and you need a little rest and relaxation. So they had this bar with alcohol, and it was available to seminarians who chose to drink. Even how I grew up, and I'm a lot older than you, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I did not live in a wealthy neighborhood. However, the rectory of the church that I belong to, and I know a lot about what went on in, because my mother worked in the rectory as a cleaning lady, and it was a very, for that time period, and with the neighborhood being the way it was in the city of Buffalo and one of the, you know, less affluent neighborhoods. It wasn't affluent at all, not even middle class, lower middle class to poor. The rectory was very elaborate. There were a lot of dinner parties held, and this is just a parish. This isn't the bishop.
Really?
A lot of dinner parties were held and a lot of drinking going on. I can remember our pastor.
What's the story?
They like to drink, and they do drink. We used to have a pastor that would have to be removed from the altar. He was so drunk. I remember this as a child, like being 7 or 8. They would take him off of the altar. I can't tell you the number of, and I'm not a drinker, but I would be shopping periodically for the holidays or whatever. I can't tell you how many priests I would run into in the liquor store buying a cart full of alcohol for their parishes. I mean, Father Yetter, who was my pastor at St. Mary's, who was removed from ministry, he gambled and drank. I would see him out all the time when I would be out with my family. My family and I, we'd go out to dinner frequently. I can't tell you the number of times I would run into Father Yetter at very nice restaurants, and he would always be with a young man. then to find out, he would send drinks over to him, and then to find out he used to bring these young men back to our rectory and have sex with them. This was found to be a fact. And that this was part of what everything was being covered up by Bishop Malone. And Father Yetter had even written a letter to Bishop Malone kind of cautioning him as to what he would do to Father Yetter, because please remember how much money we raised for you from St. Mary's. And we are, you know, right up there under the highest ranking church in terms of raising money. And priests, and Sue can probably tell you more about this. Priests do get a wage. Also, each parish, through their collections, they have to have X amount of money in which to run that parish. However, the diocese kind of gets a bit of a stipend from whatever they bring in collection-wise. You know, out in East Amherst here, St. Mary's is a very, it's a wealthy parish. And we just built a brand new church, oh, maybe about 10 years ago. That was Father Yetter's project. So you're having fundraisers, your collection. Then there was also another thing that went on, and Sue might remember, but this called Upon This Rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fundraiser in the diocese. And it was where you pledged money. And what they were doing is, I was told by a clergy member, again, that deacons and clergy in each parish, they were told to go after the people in the parish who they knew to have a lot of money, in particular to get them to make major contributions to this fundraiser, or to pledge money like for life, that they would give X number of dollars every year for the rest of their life to this fundraiser that was called Upon This Rock. What I found out when I was on board the crusade with Siobhan O'Connor and the group that was working with her to try to help bring about change and awareness in the Diocese of Buffalo was devastating. But then the more I thought about it, the more research I did, this has been going on long before any of us were born. It's been going on for years. There was a function that was being held at Christ the King Seminary, which, being the main seminary for the Diocese of Buffalo for the formation of future priests, a lot of things occurred out there. There would be special masses held, there would be events, so on and so forth. And this particular day in October, Bishop Malone was coming out to this seminary for one of these events. We were aware of that because we were notified of the bishop's calendar as to where he would be present, appearing, so on and so forth. Someone within the chancellery was giving us this information so that we could be at all of the events that Bishop Malone was at.
Mm-hmm.
This particular day, two seminarians, prior to Bishop Malone arriving at Christ the King, two seminarians went to the residence of the bishop. They didn't go to the door, but they stood outside the residence of Bishop Malone, and they were also in prayerful protest because of what had been going on with them in the seminary, as well as the overall cover-up of the clergy abuse, and just things were becoming exacerbated.
Mm-hmm.
So Bishop Malone was not happy at the presence of these seminarians outside of his home, and the police were called. No one was arrested, but the police did have a verbal interaction with the two gentlemen that had been outside the bishop's home. And it was getting to the point, because we happened to be wherever Bishop Malone would be, he was getting very infuriated by our presence. It was causing complications for him. It was making him very uneasy. We had always hoped that we could all sit down and discuss everything that was going on and maybe work together to resolve the issues that were happening within our diocese out of love for our church. But Bishop Malone was not approachable at all. And at one point in time, he even had an individual who was like his PR spokesperson, and kind of we referred to her as somewhat of a bodyguard. Any attempt in public that would be made to try to talk to Bishop Malone, this woman would whisk him away and take him somewhere where no one could speak to him.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Plus, the diocese owns properties all over the place. They have the cemeteries. There are so many things that we don't know the diocese owns that they do own. And now I'm sure they have taken so much of their assets, so many of their assets, and they've hidden them so as not to have to pay anything out to victims. And they've also filed bankruptcy. But I'm sure they hid a lot of what they have.
And one might think that the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo is too small of a fish for the Vatican to fry. Too low profile to make a blip on the radar in Rome. Well, we can tell you that Father Joe's story has made it to Rome. Sue Moreno has received encrypted emails in Italian calling for Father Joe to be declared a holy martyr. And the Morenos have even been contacted by a very prominent archbishop, who must remain anonymous, that believes Father Joe's death was not what they say it was. And ever since Siobhan O'Connor broke the silence and went from bishop's assistant to whistleblower in 2018.
Back to the latest on the sex abuse scandal in the Buffalo Catholic Church. Weeks after our explosive investigation involving hundreds of internal documents, the church is stepping up security at its headquarters and is going to lengths to figure out how our I-team obtained those documents.
Update on a story we called Inside the Secret Archive, reported on leaked records of the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo, New York. The whistleblower was Bishop Malone's own executive assistant, Siobhan O'Connor.
It's a scene of fear and paranoia inside the Diocese of Buffalo. Monday's front page story in the Buffalo News centers on Bishop Malone's reaction to a two-part 7 Eyewitness News investigation into Malone's handling of priests who were accused of sexual abuse and harassment. Our story was based largely on church documents, or what the news calls secret clergy files. The paper reports the disclosure of those documents caused the church to post security guards at the doors to its headquarters, change locks, set up a video camera, and bring in a computer expert to install encryption software on email accounts.
Siobhan, the whistleblower who cracked this all open, and we should point out that she actually worked in the office with the bishop himself.
The anonymous tips have been rolling in. In fact, right when we started this podcast adventure and first met Sue, she had recently got a 34-page handwritten anonymous letter in the mail. You can't make this stuff up. Anyhow, I'm not going to read all 34 pages. There are so many names, court records, and suspects from some truly hardcore investigative work that we still haven't processed everything from this packet put in the mail with no return address. The sender accuses an Erie County judge of giving lenient sentences to sex offenders who are tied in to all of this corruption, and connects crimes from all over the city. So I've picked out some excerpts that are very pertinent to our investigation on Father Joe. So I'm staring at a copy of this handwritten letter, and it is written in a cursive that only a woman could write. So it's our suspicion that this anonymous sender is at least female. And she apparently worked at St. Gregory the Great Church and School. So it's somewhat reasonable to believe she's a reliable inside source. Anyhow, here's the letter. Sue, first please accept my dearest sympathy on the loss of your twin brother, Father Joe Moreno. Although I personally had never met him, I certainly knew of him, and I also knew of his profound goodness. I also knew he trusted some people that he shouldn't have. As the enclosed pages will reflect, Father Joe Moreno had connections to law enforcement individuals as well as firefighters, and even in that community, there were plenty of people that he should not have trusted. I know, Sue, of your efforts to have your brother's death declared a murder rather than a suicide. And although you have hardcore evidence that points in that direction, I have circumstantial evidence that points in that same direction. My enclosed material should be read thoroughly and carefully. And although it probably won't give you much comfort, and it may make you more upset, hopefully it will enlighten you more to the depth of the issues of sex abuse, child and adult. It should also give you insight into what your brother knew. Also, I know of individuals within the law enforcement community that you should not trust. They will come across as very kind and understanding, and sometimes so charismatic that you will want to trust them. I will give you their names. Cindy Goss, who lists her business as Catch a Falling Star. Cindy is often hired by law enforcement to console those dealing with issues like you are. She is actually there to find out information from you on what you may know about a situation that is potentially damaging to law enforcement. Also, another law enforcement fixer is Michael Bryant, former Secret Service agent. He often acts on behalf of law enforcement to fix things up by giving jobs and titles that seem significant because they are connected to good causes. I know that this letter, that only you will see, is overwhelming and mind-boggling, but as I will be sharing the other contents of this package with others like John Flynn and others in law enforcement, please reach out to as many as you can so that your brother's death is not in vain and perhaps there will eventually be a murder conviction. Signed, Anonymous. There's so much to unpack in all of this, but another section I think we should air is on Joe Gatto. The letter says, yes, Bishop Malone should resign, but he is the tip of the iceberg. I am not surprised that many priests did not sign the petition to remove him, however. Look what happened to Father Joe Moreno. His death was not a suicide. So much evidence points to murder of him instead. Having worked myself inside many of the Catholic institutions, including but not limited to St. Gregory the Great Church and School, I came to know and see indiscretions with several priests. Father Joe Gatto showed another side to him on several occasions. Father Joe Gatto was the pastor at the time I was working at St. Gregory the Great. For one thing, he couldn't hide his intense dislike for Father Joe Moreno. So I would like to see Father Joe Gatto's removal from the priesthood as well as from the Catholic Church completely. Then he should be investigated into possible involvement into the murder of Father Joe Moreno. Also at St. Gregory the Great Church, school during my time there was Reverend Daryl Duffy, a priest that was also guilty of cover-up and or involvement in inappropriate activity. The letter goes on to describe more accusations of abuse, embezzlement, and blasphemy amongst multiple priests and Erie County officials, providing court records and firsthand accounts. And we are at a place now in this investigation podcast where we've caught up to real time, and we are actively waiting on leads, follow-ups, and other undercover operations to finish. So we're going to take a short break in order to gather all of the intel and prepare the final episodes. Thank you for listening. God bless, and we'll be back soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.